Throughout the Bible, in both the Old and New Testaments, the people have to be reminded about how they are called to live. In the passages we will soon hear, we are reminded of important truths about life. The journey will not always be easy, but we are reminded time and time again that God will always be with us, loving us, comforting us, and that despite the challenges, we are called to give thanks. The first reading we will hear is from the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament. And because of its scope and length, the book of Isaiah contains what scholars often say the clearest expressions of the gospel in all of the Old Testament. From the very beginning of the book, it is clear that people have turned away from God and have failed to keep their promises to love God, to love one another, and to love themselves. They have failed to be faithful people, and yet, what is the constant? God. God offers mercy, forgiveness, and hope. God offers compassion and love. And in our reading from the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is reminding the people of his time that challenges are part of life, and that challenges help to produce patience and hope. Ultimately, we are reminded that God's love will get us through all of life. The Bible people strayed from God. We stray from God. Life will be filled with joy and challenge. And so we are grateful for these words of inspiration and encouragement to get us through today and all of our days.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Quiet down, far-flung ocean islands, listen. Sit down and rest, everyone. Recover your strength. Gather around me. You, Israel, are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant serving on my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. Do you feel like a lowly worm, Jacob? Don't be afraid. Feel like a fragile insect, Israel? I'll help you. I, God, want to reassure you. And our second reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 5. Verses 3-5. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
4 or 5 times in the last few months, I've been told the days seem long, but the years fly by. Well, you can associate that with raising children, right? Some of the days seem very long, but then in a snap of a finger, they're adults. But you can also feel it when you're waiting for that doctor's call to see if that biopsy is cancer. The days also feel long when you're grieving a loved one who has died. The days can be long when you're depressed and anxious and feel like you have nowhere to turn. The days can seem long when you hate your job or when you're fighting with a family member. The days can seem awfully long sometimes. So where do we turn? This holy book, this Bible, is full of advice about how we are called to live and passages about how God will always be with us. God will love us through it all. Pretty powerful. So this church has been a blessing in my life in so many ways, including that from it have been born a few babysitters for my boys. For those of you that see my boys on Sunday mornings, they're quite a handful. And so we have been blessed with several babysitters, including Leah Schneider, who is now off at college. But you see, about a year and a half ago, my boys went to Camp Sunrise here in Glastonbury, a camp for special needs kids. Even though we live in Cromwell, we are able to go to Camp Sunrise. I was really anxious. It was the first time that I had sent my four-year-olds off to camp. But guess who was their camp counselor? Leah. So she would send me pictures. "They're doing great, Kate." And I'd feel so relieved. Plus, they were only like 2 miles away, so I was close by. Leah and the boys hit it off immediately. And so then she became our babysitter and would make the trek to Cromwell to watch my rambunctious, spirited boys. So we said goodbye in mid-August as she went off to college with a tear in our eye. I've texted with her occasionally, "How are classes? What's your favorite?" And she texts me if I don't send her enough pictures of the boys, even though I'm convinced that not many things have changed in 2 months. I got an enthusiastic text the end of last week, "Kate, I'm coming home for the weekend. I want to see the boys. When can I come?" I was like, "Oh man, I got a wedding, and I got, okay, we got church, and we have a meeting after church. How about 3 o'clock on Sunday?" So in she drove to our driveway, and my little Andrew was laying on the couch, and Leah comes in our house and walks right over to Andrew. And with his big brown eyes, he looks up at Leah and says, "Will you always love me?" Not "hi," not "nice to see you." "Will you always love me?" 2 months probably seems like a very long time to a five-year-old. And without missing a beat, she says, "I'll always love you, Andrew." Sometimes it's hard to feel and see and hear God. And then we have a moment like that. God was there, moving in that moment, made his or herself very present. We long to feel God's presence, right? To know God's presence, to hear God's voice, to feel it in our hearts. And sometimes it comes through people, a little five-year-old and a beloved babysitter. Or sometimes it comes through things. You see, before being a pastor, I thought that I would be a teacher, and I always thought that I would teach older elementary or middle school, because you know, middle school, not fun years. So I read this story recently about Mrs. Thompson. She teaches sixth grade social studies. God bless her, number one. She tells this story about how she was running low on pencils, and so she had this practice of asking her students, could she have one or two of their pencils to create a little pencil pile so when other kids didn't have them, she could share. So she went around her class and asked the kids to all donate a pencil or two, and Billy said, "I can't." She thought, interesting, okay, and kept going. And then a few minutes later, Billy came up and said, "Here, here's two of my pencils." A few days later, she was going to sharpen the pencils, and she noticed why Billy might have been a little didn't want to give them away. She looked down at the pencils, and they had red writing on them. Then the next day she asked Billy, can I see all your pencils? And this is what she read on each pencil, a message. You are so talented. This will be a great year. You are creative. You are phenomenal. Never give up. You can do this. You are smart. Proud of you every day. You are important. Follow your dreams. Be kind. You will change the world. Can you imagine? It probably didn't take the mom and dad that long to write on a message on each pencil. But imagine when Billy pulls out a pencil and he gets to read those amazing words and be reminded that he is precious, that he is important. The teacher writes, Ms. Thompson writes on her blog, these are the things we should be reminding our kids. That's the job of parents and teachers. Imagine the look on a child's face when they are reminded that he or she is important, talented, and loved. Even if you think it's kind of cheesy, or you don't have enough time, or think it will have little impact, remember that you may be the only one telling and reminding these precious children that they have value. This is why I teach. Imagine if we went out into the world knowing that each of one of us is precious and beloved. Maybe we don't all give out pencils that say messages, but imagine the world we would create. So sometimes it's people that remind us of God's amazing love. Sometimes maybe it's a pencil, or other times it might be a license plate. For those of you who know her, Nancy Tandon is an active member of this congregation. She's an author and an amazing writer. And recently she put a blog post up on her Facebook page, and it stuck with me. So with her permission, here's her story. A few years ago, Nancy was having one of those days, you know, one of those days where you're thinking, why am I doing this? Is it even worth it? What's going on? This, you know, just a downer kind of day. Then she was driving in or out of Stop and Shop, I believe, and she looked up and on the back of a car, the license plate said, never give up. She whipped out her phone and took a picture and felt a little silly taking a picture of a license plate, but it kept her going. And she had kept that picture, never give up, and thought about that license plate. And then a few months ago, she was in the post office parking lot. For those of you who know that parking lot, it's tiny and cramped, and she was trying to navigate her way out. And she looked up, and guess who drove in? Never give up. And for those of you who know Nancy, I can picture it as clear as day. She started waving to the lady. I just can picture it. It's great. And so the lady, she says, got out of her car looking mighty elegant for going to the post office. And here she was just kind of running her errands, Nancy was. And the lady came over and started talking to her. And Nancy explained that she had seen this license plate a few years ago and that it had really stuck with her. This never give up, and it had inspired her on a bad day, and bad days since then. And then the lady got a little teary and said, that was my husband's license plate. Never give up. He never gave up on people, even when they didn't deserve second chances. He always believed in the goodness of people. And the lady explains how she used to get a little annoyed about it because, you know, he just gave people too many chances. And she said and confided in Nancy that maybe when, you know, it comes time to get a new license plate, she should just get a random number. And Nancy said, no, don't give that up. And they talked a little bit, and the woman apologized for maybe making Nancy feel bad, but said, thank you for allowing me to talk about my husband. I miss him. And so Nancy explains how she drove away from the parking lot encounter, having hugged this lady, thinking about how she interpreted the license plate as never give up in her own life, but how that man never gave up on other people. Our faith is clear. Throughout the Bible, people mess up a lot. And yet God is constantly forgiving, showing mercy, loving us, despite the fact that half the time or more, we have no clue what we're doing and we lose our way and we forget the greatest commandment to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. God doesn't give up. And guess what? We're not any different than those Bible people from so long ago. We miss the mark a lot. And yet God is there. I can picture God saying, never give up. I'll always love you. Never give up. I'll always be here. Never give up. Keep on going. And so that's our task as people of faith, to know and to go out into the world, knowing that we are beloved, and to share that love with the world. Maybe it's a person who will come and remind you of God's love. Maybe it's a pencil, or maybe, just maybe, you'll see that never give up license plate while driving around. Whatever it is our call and our duty to know, to give thanks, and to share that good and gracious love with all the world. Go in peace, go in love.